Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the July 2025 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by continuing Radio 101 by Ken Reitz, KS4ZR, Antenna Man OTA TV signal meter. Images accompanying the article at this point show first views of the front of the signal meter and also the back with connections for different kinds of cables and a top view of the remote. The caption reads, front and rear panels and remote control for Antenna Man signal meter, $50, with enough ports to connect to any ATSC 1.0 digital OTA TV set, KS4ZR photos. The next two images show screenshots of a TV program with the signal meter in use. The signal meter is indicating that the quality is 48% in one photo. The other photo, there's a TV show screenshot with the signal meter in operation. And in that case, the quality is showing as 73%. The caption for these two images reads, trying to get the best signal by just observing the TV screen seemed fine, but using the signal meter and peaking the signal with the rotator showed a big improvement in quality, going from 48, which equates to a low signal strength but still locked in, to a 73, excellent signal strength. I saw some channels register as high as 85 on the meter, KS4ZR photos. Two more images show first the result of a converter box's channel scan. The caption reads, using a Zinwell ZAT600B ATSC 3.0 converter box netted 41 channels when scanned while attached to the same Element VHF-UHF TV antenna. The other image shows the result of the same converter box's built-in signal strength meter. The caption reads, Zinwell ZAT600B on-screen signal strength indicator shows more precise figures for strength and signal-to-noise ratio, but is much smaller, harder to read, and disappears quickly. The program guide is much snazzier than the Antenna Man set-top box. But these features come at nearly three times the price of the Antenna Man. KS4ZR photo. Back to the text. TSM. Since the first run of Antenna Man signal meters sold out, what are your plans for the next production run? Tyler. When my initial 1,000-unit stockpile sold out, I immediately ordered 2,000 more signal meters from my supplier. Production finished a few weeks ago, and it's currently in transit to the U.S. There are also an additional 2,100 units that are in the process of being made. My next stockpile should arrive by the end of June, with units shipping immediately after that point. My signal meter can be purchased at antennasignalmeter.com. A look at the Antenna Man OTA TV signal meter. To size up the Antenna Man signal meter as a set-top ATSC 1.0 tuner, I compared it to two Sony TV sets of different size and vintage, one about 10 years older than the other. I also used two different outdoor-mounted antennas, one a preamplified Winnegard square shooter, measuring 16 inches by 16 inches, long ago out of production, fixed in one direction, and the other, an Antennas Direct Element, $70 reviewed in previous editions of this column, a small, preamplified, log periodic VHF-UHF antenna mounted on a rotator. I compared OTA TV reception using the Antenna Man receiver as well as two OTATV Sony TV sets, and the Zinwell ZAT600B Next Gen ATSC 3.0 set-top box OTATV receiver, $129 at Amazon. I reviewed the ZAT600B in this column in the July 2024 issue of TSM. First, a quick disclaimer. Your mileage will definitely vary, depending on whether yours is a rural, suburban, or urban location, the type of antenna you are using, the general terrain, and the type and age of your TV set. Second, another disclaimer. OTA TV channels are broadcast in basically four grades of resolution, 480, 720, 1080, and ATSC 3.0. The antenna man does not receive ATSC 3.0 signals, at least not in this first generation version. Because of this wide difference in OTA TV resolution quality, what you see on the screen can be painfully low resolution or stunning HD resolution, and it will vary from set to set as well as channel to channel. In my view, this is OTATV's greatest drawback. At our location, we are on a fiber optic internet connection, and streaming TV content is uniformly better than anything I've observed in OTATV resolution, with the possible exception of rare ATSC 3.0 content. On the next page, two images show, first, results of a channel scan using the antenna man. The caption reads, "First time scan with the antenna man connected to an amplified element VHF UHF TV antenna, netted 19 channels." The next image shows the results of a channel scan. The caption reads, "Using the meter function on the antenna man receiver, netted 45 channels on the rescan, KS4ZR photos." Another pair of images on this page shows, first, the program guide available through the antenna man receiver, and then the program guide available through the Zinwell converter box. The captions read, "Simple but useful program guide on the antenna man receiver uses data transmitted on the ATSC 1.0 digital signal to display not only what programs will appear on any highlighted channel, but a description of the content of each show as well." On-screen program guide for the Zinwell ZAT600B, KS4ZR photos. Back to the text. Now, let's look at the product itself. The set-top box is small, about 6.5 inches wide, about 4 inches deep, and just 1.5 inches high, with a metal cabinet. The front panel has a green LED channel display and nearly invisible push buttons, power on-off, volume, mode, source, channel, and OK, which would allow you to operate most features in the event of losing the remote control. The rear panel has 75-ohm coax input-output jacks for your antenna input that loops through to your TV set's antenna input, useful for older TV sets without an HDMI input. It features an HDMI port to interface with more modern TV sets' video and audio controls. It has RCA jacks for traditional analog stereo left and right and analog video. It also features green, blue, red RCA jacks for older TV sets for this type of HD TV input. It has an attached and very short 32-inch AC cord and a TV channel 3-4 output modulator. Basically, this unit can connect with any ATSC 1.0 digital TV or even vintage NTSC still in use. The set also comes with a fully functional remote control, You supply the AAA batteries, RCA audio-video cable, an HDMI cable, and useful, well-written user's manual, one sheet of paper in English only. After making all the necessary connections between the antenna man and the newer Sony, I ran a channel scan with the rotatable VHF-UHF antenna, which found 19 channels. I tuned to the local PBS station, which showed a signal strength of 48, a poor signal according to the owner's manual, on the signal strength indicator. While observing the easy-to-see signal meter from across the room, I moved the rotator east and west until the signal peaked at 72, an excellent signal according to the owner's manual. I then re-ran the channel scan and 45 channels were received. I re-ran the scan the next morning and received 62 channels. What had happened? Well, as you might guess from the date on the TV screen, we were experiencing some tropospheric ducting at that time, and channels were received just well enough to be identified, but not well enough to decode content. A later rescan once again netted 45 channels. So, how did that compare with the other sets? Keeping the antenna at the improved location, the Zinwell ATSC 3.0 receiver found 41 channels. The newer Sony set by itself netted very similar results, while the older Sony on the older Winnegard antenna did about the same. In no instance was the antenna man signal meter inferior to any of the other setups. At my location, using an ATSC 3.0 capable TV, such as the newer Sony TV in our house, I found that ATSC 3.0 broadcasts were elusive. It seems that our location puts us right at the threshold for ATSC 3.0 decoding. The ATSC 3.0 channels had no trouble. An image on this page shows a screenshot of a TV program. The signal strength indication is showing. The caption reads, "Using the antenna's direct element pointed toward Richmond, Virginia, nets a 52 fair signal from channel 41 in Charlottesville off the back of the antenna. When the antenna is rotated toward Charlottesville, the signal jumps to over 70, KS4ZR photo. Another image on this page shows a directional antenna mounted on a tall antenna mast. The bottom of the mast is attached to an antenna rotator. The caption reads, VHF-UHF element antenna from Antennas Direct, $70 as this is written. Covers high VHF, 174 to 216 MHz, UHF, 470 to 608 MHz, with UHF 9.2 dBi, high VHF, 6.7 dBi gain, and measures 2.5 inches high by 35.5 inches wide longest element, and 45.5 inches long boom. This is also a very good attic mount antenna if you don't need to rotate it, provided that you don't have a metal roof. It's also a great scanner beam antenna when mounted vertically. Website store.antennas-direct.com/antennas-direct-unidirectional-UHF-VHF-attic-outdoor-HD-TV-antenna.html KS4ZR photo. The third image on this next page shows pieces of hardware used for mounting a preamp, also a couple of cables, and a preamp with a wall wart power supply. The caption reads, For this installation, I'm using a Clearstream Juice Plus VHF UHF preamp, $80 on Amazon. The black plastic weatherproof box contains the combiner splitter preamp and is mounted at the antenna. The 75-ohm coax feed line, not included, is used to power the preamp from the power inserter, shown above with a green LED. I have found this to be an excellent preamp, courtesy AntennasDirect.com. Also in the caption, the rotator you see pictured above is an RCA VH226E antenna rotator with remote control, $120 at rcaantennas.net. You'll also need a run of control wire from control box to the rotator, $27 for 75 feet, RCA VH127R antenna rotator cable, also available from Amazon. The complete installation will take a couple of hours to put together, but you'll find your options for OTA TV greatly improved. Back to the text. I also found that we were limited by the two relatively small antennas. Larger VHF, UHF antennas have been able to lock in ATSC 3.0 channels, in addition to receiving low-power independent TV stations that simply didn't exist when scanned by any of the TVs, set-top boxes, or antennas at hand. I found the on-screen program guide very useful. It's simple, easy to read from quite a distance, and lists program title, time start, and finish on the left of the screen, as well as program details on the right, when highlighted using the remote. Using the up, down, left, right, OK buttons in the middle of the remote lets you change and see what the programming is or will be while still on the channel you're watching. It's one of the most useful on-screen channel guides I've seen on any TV or set-top box, and you don't need a connection to the internet to use any of the guide's features. There are other features which I did not try. For example, the antenna man can record TV programs using a FAT32 format via USB-based external drive. Sure, the Zinwell has a snazzier display and can decode ATSC 3.0 if available in your area and if not encrypted, but it's nearly three times the price of the antenna man. And yes, the antenna man signal meter set-top ATSC 1.0 receiver has issues too. The power cord may be too short for many situations. Okay, get an extension cord. The remote control is extraordinarily weak. Users have complained they have to place the remote almost in front of the receiver to change channels and press buttons several times before getting a reaction. There's no fix for that, though. Maybe the next batch of receivers can have a more sensitive IR receiver. But let's not forget what this product is, an inexpensive signal strength meter to help OTA TV consumers get the most out of whatever antenna system they have, and it works. And now Amateur Radio Insights by Kirk Kleinschmidt, NT0Z, NT0Z at stealthamateur.com. Is your transmit audio cool jazz or tin can and a string? An image on this page shows a cartoon of a man seated at the base of an antenna tower. He's seated on a stool. In front of him is a small table with a box on it. The box has a wire coming out of it. It's going to a microphone that he's holding in his hand in front of his mouth. He's smiling and has his eyes closed. The caption reads, "To celebrate Pete N6QW's excellent one-transistor mic amplifier, with a little help from AI, I made this cartoon in the style of Gil Gildersleeve, who penned many classic ARRL cartoons. See text, NT0Z graphic. Back to the text. Some ops, as evidenced by their awesome on-air signals and perfectly tweaked audio, really put some effort into squaring away their transmit audio. I'm not talking about the ops who pursue enhanced SSB or broadcast quality AM and the like. I'm simply talking about mainstream ops who have great sounding setups. They sound great and it's noticeable. Many ops just grab a mic, any mic, and go without giving a second thought to frequency response, transmit filtering, modulation levels, etc. And while some radios tolerate or even excel at this approach, most don't. And you can also notice it. And a few ops, perhaps because they are quite unaware of what their stations sound like, create the RF equivalent of nails on a chalkboard. Some ops using vintage equipment think they can get away with hum-laden, tinny audio, but I don't, because I know that even vintage equipment sounds just fine when it's working properly and care is taken to use the right mics. The industry's dirty little secret. Receiver performance has dramatically improved over the past two decades, even before the dawn of the SDR era. But transmit audio, especially when it comes to transmitter intermodulation distortion, IMD, has largely lagged behind. At the dawn of the SSB era, the FCC set a relatively low bar for a transmitter, IMD, transmitter cleanliness. And it hasn't really changed much or at all over the years. Receiver performance drove sales while the quality of transmitted signals did not. This is starting to be addressed in the modern era, especially in the SDR sphere, with digital pre-distortion, a digital modulation technique that compensates for an RF amplifier's inherent cleanliness flaws by applying offsetting corrections to the source signal on the fly. This is mostly available on high-end rigs, but it will trickle down as we move forward. Pay attention, digi dudes. Clean transmit audio isn't just useful for voice operations, so if you only run FT8, don't think that you can get away with the digital equivalent of the grab-and-go. In a practical sense, digital mode signals are even more sensitive to proper modulation audio levels and proper RF output settings than are plain vanilla voice signals. When overdriven, digital signals spew distortion garbage and harmonic trash up and down the band adjacent to their actual carrier frequency. This can actually ruin a particular digimode watering hole by interfering with other ops decodes and by making your transmitted signals unreadable. You can sometimes see this on the waterfall when another ops, hopefully not yours, signal has a large spread of vertical bands above and below the main signal. Turn down the audio gain at a minimum. Ever see your transmitted signal? In the ham magazines from the 50s through the 80s, the coolest of the cool kids had monitor scopes, oscilloscopes, to track modulation levels on voice modes by sampling transmitted RF signals. Now, I'm sure only a fraction of all bygone hams actually had monitoring scopes, but I'll bet you a chicken dinner that the percentage was higher than it is today, even though affordable oscilloscopes are casually available. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.